It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at Jane Addams, that's A-D-D-A-M-S, books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I am pleased to welcome Archie M. Walker, who is a graduate student in entomology at the University of Illinois. I met you, Archie, at last weekend's Valentine-making afternoon at WEFT for the Cupid Project. We were making Valentines to take to seniors in nursing homes, and you just showed up. And then when I discovered that you are studying entomology, which is the study of insects, I was excited because I know that February in Champaign-Urbana brings one of my favorite annual events, the Insect Fear Film Festival. And you are definitely going to be part of that. So let's start our conversation. What brought you to the U of I, and what is it in particular that you study?
So I came to the U of I specifically because I had heard really great things about the entomology department and because I wanted to study cockroaches, specifically the biodiversity and like evolutionary history of cockroaches. And my advisor, Dr. Dominic Evangelista, does just that. And he had also recently come to the U of I. And so our timing lined up really well.
How did you get interested in insects? Cockroaches in particular.
I know that's always the big question.
Yeah.
So I was always a bug kid. I was always like picking up bugs off the sidewalk, trying to like keep them in my house, much to like my mom's like displeasure sometimes. But I had always been interested in bugs. But I started in college really getting into ecology and evolution. And I thought I was going to go more of this like theoretical route, looking at like big scales of like population changes in ecology. But then I took my first like entomology class and I went out collecting and I had some really amazing professors who really showed me that I could apply a lot of these ecology and evolutionary like theories to an organism that I was already so in love with. And so my first introduction to the world of cockroaches was in that class when I learned the amazing fun fact, and here's your like first insect fact of the day, is that termites are actually a subgroup of cockroaches.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's relatively recent. I think like 2007 is like the landmark paper that was like, we figured it out. So termites evolved from a species of cockroach. And so they're just really social cockroaches. And so once I found that out and found that there was still so much we did not know about the evolutionary history of insects, I was sold. I wanted to study insects, but not only that, I wanted to study cockroaches and specifically how they evolved so many like unique characteristics.
What are some of those unique characteristics?
Cockroaches, we think of them as the world's best survivalists, and true to that, they are one of the most like generalist insects. We think about them in a lot of different situations, but they also have a really important role in tropical ecosystems as well. And because so much of entomology is focused on like the northern hemisphere, we actually don't know too much about these tropical cockroaches and the roles they fill in these ecosystems. So they have a potential for fulfilling a lot of different ecological niches. Also, what I'm particularly really interested is their morphology. So how they look and how that informs what they do in the environment. And so our lab looks at a couple of different areas. One of my lab mates focuses on the wings of cockroaches. So they have two sets of wings. One is this forewing, which it provides a protective cover. And then there are larger hind wings that they actually use for flight. And this is actually something really similar that we see in beetles, but evolved totally separately in both of these insects, but kind of do the same thing. What I'm really interested in is actually the genitalia of cockroaches. And so, because these cockroaches can sometimes occupy a lot of overlapping roles in the environment, but yet we still see so much biodiversity, one way that we think we see so much of this biodiversity is because they have these really specialized genitalia, almost like a lock and a key. But I'm really interested in their genitalia because they are one, super diverse. There are so many different hooks and prongs and styli that we don't even know what they do sometimes. And we think that that diversity kind of helped them diversify so much. Also, they're kind of cool to look at. I have kind of too many pictures of cockroach genitalia on my phone for not an
You
entomologist.
can share them with your friends.
Oh, absolutely, right? I've got a group chat going.
I think of cockroaches very much as associated with the human environment, as of eating what we don't want them to eat, finding them in kitchens and homes where you don't want them. But it sounds like cockroaches have quite a robust presence in places where there are no humans.
When we think of cockroaches, and most of the time when I say I work with cockroaches, people think I work in pest management, or that's their first jump to. And that's because there are about five species of cockroaches that we consider pests, and that's just because they exist in the same places that we do. And you're right, like they like to eat our food and get into places we'd rather not have them. But that's such a small majority. There's actually almost 5,000 different species of cockroaches, and most of them are forest roaches. They live in forests, rainforests, temperate forests, and they are mostly detritivores. So they eat all of the dead, dying, and decaying things on the ground and help clean up those forests, providing food for different other organisms. And most of those cockroaches could not live outside of the forest, even if they wanted to. So cockroaches get a little bit of a bad rap because of those species that we find inside of our homes. But really, the vast majority of the biodiversity of cockroaches exists outside of where humans live. Cockroaches really need like a very pretty warm, very humid environment. It's really only the cockroaches that have kind of co-evolved to live with humans and in our habitations that can go more north. Mostly they're a more tropical or subtropical species,
What's the
group of
largest
insects.
cockroach?
I can tell you the largest cockroach that we have in our insect petting zoo is the cave cockroach. So they are pretty big. I would say I've seen some that are just smaller, about like of the palm of my hand, but they can get quite big, especially they have these really big wings that aren't necessarily for flying, but have evolved more to be that protective structure in caves.
Your advisor, Dominic Evangelista, runs the Roach Brain Lab. Does that have a particular purpose or study?
So I am a part of the Roach Brain Lab, and what we like to say is that we use our brains to study the roaches. Sometimes people think we study roach brains, but that's a slightly different field of entomology. But in our lab, we primarily focus on studying insect systematics. So systematics is related to taxonomy, which is the organization and classification of insects. Think about all the scientific names that if you've ever had to take a biology class, you'll be used to. What we do is try to parse out the evolutionary history of roaches and see where did they evolve. Why are there so many roaches? And also, what are some of the evolutionary and ecological pressures that are kind of driving that biodiversity?
Are roaches social insects like ants? Do they colonize?
So, roaches have a range of social behavior, which is actually one of the reasons that drew me to them in the first place. So, there are some roaches that are totally like isolated. They live their lives. Sometimes they find a male or a female roach to make more roaches with, and then they kind of go their own ways. And then there are some subsocial roaches, which live together, but not necessarily in these highly structured societies like we see with ants and bees. And then there are termites. And termites, again, are a type of cockroach, but they're a type of cockroach that has evolved this, what we call eusociality. And that's the highest form of sociality, where you see these king and queen termites, soldier termites, worker termites, having these different castes and all kind of living together in this very structured social setting is one of those like highest forms of social presence that we see in insects. And because termites are inside the cockroach lineage, that really means that cockroaches have this full range of social behavior, from just being kind of solitary to wanting to hang out with some other roaches to actually forming these like large social networks.
Do they live underground?
It's a range as well. So, because cockroaches have this really great biodiversity, we see roaches living up in the canopies. We see roaches living on the forest floor. And then we do see some roaches, especially like some that maybe are a little bit more closely related to termites, which are mound building, can live near or under the ground. They also live in caves and wetlands and all over the world. So really there's a type of cockroach for just about every tropical habitat.
You touched on one of the highlights of the Insect Fear Film Festival, which is the petting zoo. Now, tell us about that. Do you keep a petting zoo in the entomology department? Can anybody visit?
I was hoping you'd pick up on my little hint towards it, because it's honestly one of my favorite parts, or the part that I'm looking forward to the most for the Insect Fear Film Fest is the petting zoo. So we do have a petting zoo here at the U of I. So it's actually housed in the same building that I do all of my research in, just on a different floor. And there we have cockroaches, we have beetles, and we have a good number of tarantulas as well. We use the petting zoo for just about every outreach opportunity that we do. So I've taken the petting zoo into classrooms. They'll be out at the Insect Fear Fest. And they're definitely a highlight of the entomology department.
Do you do a lot of outreach?
Yes. So that's one of my really the thing that gets me somewhat like the most excited about what I do here at the U of I is I love doing research, but my heart is always in outreach. I love being able to communicate what we do here to different audiences, whether that's like a preschool classroom or a big public event or a broader event at like the public libraries, talking to as many people as possible. I think so many people, their interactions with insects are pretty limited to just the insects that they see around them, and there might not be a whole lot of understanding about them, which can oftentimes lead to like a fear or a distancing themselves from insects. But I truly think like with outreach, getting the opportunity to learn about the different types of bugs, being able to handle them as well, goes such a long way to like letting people really get involved in like the science and just like the wonder that is like the insect world.
Can teachers contact your lab directly to arrange for a visit in their classroom?
Yeah, so my lab is not the one who's in charge. You would think with like the roach brain lab, we do all the cockroach outreach, but the Entomology Grad Student Student Association, so EGSA, Entomology Grad Student Association, they have an email where you could reach out to our outreach coordinators directly, and we do classroom bookings all the time for everywhere from preschool classrooms all the way up to high school classrooms as well. And we travel around a little bit as well. So even if they're not located in Champaign-Urbana, but in one of those surrounding communities, we're always happy to bring our bugs out.
Do you have a bug bus?
Mostly it's a caravan of grad school cars, but
Ooh.
we're always happy to bring them.
Tell me more about what's going to happen at the Insect Festival.
The Insect Fear Fest, which is our 43rd annual
Wow.
event. I know, it's
And
been like crazy.
this was the inspiration of May Barenbaum, I believe.
Yes, this is like she came up with the idea, pitched it to the department, and it's been a staple, both like nationally and internationally recognized as like one of the biggest insect outreach events ever. The doors are going to open at about 5 p.m., and there's going to be a variety of different activities, booths, and places where you can actually go meet the stars of the film, the insects, the petting zoo, and some other activities as well going on until about 7 p.m., where May Barenbaum is going to give some introductory remarks. And then the movie is actually going to start around 8 p.m., and they're showing the 2009 film Infestation. I have not seen it, but I looked up some screenshots before we started, and all I can see is there are some pretty big bugs, and so it looks like a good film. I'm excited to watch it. One of the things that I just get the most excited about when it comes to the Insect Fear Film Fest is all the ways that art is inspired at the fest. So one of the biggest ways is like the I think it's elementary school art students can submit their inspired drawings, and then it's a contest. So we're going to be presenting not only all of the submissions, but also the winners of our contest. And this year's theme is insect-human hybrids. So I'm very excited to see what all the kids end up drawing for
Well, so
that.
we're definitely into sci-fi here.
Oh, yeah. This year is a big sci-fi human-insect hybrids.
Is there anything more about the festival you can think that we'd like to know?
Yeah, absolutely. So in addition to the art contest, there's also all of the grad students have gotten together to think about some of our favorite outreach events that we do around town, but we've brought some of the highlights to the festival. And so there's going to be insect crafts where we're going to be making paper insect dolls, kind of Frankensteining them together. The Illinois Natural History Museum is going to be displaying some of the most beautiful bugs in their collection. So we're going to have a lot of different real insects for people to look at. And then one of the stations where you can actually catch me at the festival is the Build a Bug Station, where we're going to be taking some real insect specimens, different parts of them that can no longer be used for science or display, and actually gluing them together to be building our very own Frankenbugs.
Whoa.
I know, kind of celebrate this insect-human hybrid and see how well we can Frankenstein some of these bugs together. So I'm very excited about that one because it's one of my favorite outreach events that we do.
I might have nightmares after this festival.
No, the point is to make you not scared of
They're coming
bugs.
to get us.
But that's one of the things that I love so much about it. So much art is throughout the entire festival, whether it's the competition or making the crafts or putting bugs together or even the film itself. There's just so many ways that insects have inspired us in sometimes horrifying, but also sometimes really wonderful ways. And it's all celebrated at the Insect Fear Film Fest. And so that's why I think it's like one of the most special events, not only like here in Champaign-Urbana, but also like in the entomology world.
Let's go back to your work and what you particularly are focused on. Do you have a sense of what you want to do after you get your degree?
After I get my degree, which I'm a long way from, I'm a first year PhD student, so I'm just getting my feet wet in the program. But I am very passionate about museums, especially our natural history collections. So a lot of entomology work for decades has been going out and collecting insects. Museums have acted as a repository for all of these insects that have happened through professional collectors, non-professional collectors have all kind of come together, and these museums house these amazing numbers of specimens. With new advances in DNA and different types of technology that we can use, we are constantly extracting new information out of these museum specimens. And so they just continue to become more and more valuable every single day. And so After getting my degree, I see myself working in a museum and specifically empowering myself as a scientist, but also other scientists to keep our natural history collections relevant in our increasingly genomic world, and realizing that there's still so much really interesting information about the biodiversity and morphological diversity of insects that we already have the specimens for. They're just sitting in boxes in the museums ready to be used.
So you can go back to an old specimen and actually extract DNA and run it through whatever it is. Is it the CRISPR? Do you use the facilities at the Institute for Genomic Biology?
Yes, I work really closely with the Genomics Institute, and our whole lab does. And we are constantly developing new ways of getting more precise DNA out of these old specimens. And so the DNA, it does slowly degrade over time. So comparing an insect collected 100 years ago versus an insect collected today, the DNA is going to be a little easier to get out of the insect collected today. Museum specimens still have that DNA locked away. It just can sometimes get a little noisy due to that degradation. And so that's where some of the innovation of science comes in, and the innovation that's happening here on campus to see how we can get more precise DNA out of specimens and different ways of looking at their genetic and also their like morphological data. I am still learning quite a bit about the genomics of insects. That's one of the reasons why I decided to work with Dr. Evangelista, is because he is really on the forefront of a lot of some of this newer technology, and especially doing so with cockroaches, seeing where they fall in the genetic time scale of stuff. The biggest thing that I've been learning is that insects are far more diverse than we really even thought, right? And so, even though we have so many insects, there are still so many undescribed species of insects that are out there. And so, even the amount that we know about right now is still likely a underestimation of the true diversity. And so that's one of the really great things that we're starting to unlock with more genetic-based methods.
I heard once, I don't know if this is true, maybe you can tell me, that if you put humans on one side of a scale and insects on the other, insects would outweigh humans.
Oh my gosh, I think just the ants would outweigh humans.
What kind of field work are entomologists doing to actually go out and discover new species?
My lab specifically in the past 2 years, I was not part of the lab at the time, but I get to hear all of the fieldwork stories. Recently went to Peru in 2021 and 2024, and there are lots of different traps you can use for insects, different baits. Cockroaches like really stinky baits, and sometimes you can put out cans of beer and they'll get attracted to it. You can dig holes in the ground and hope they fall into it. Entomologists are also always trying to come up with the new best way to catch an insect because they're small, they're fast, and they don't want to be caught. One of the things that I'm currently working on in the lab. So, a number of those cockroaches that were caught by my lab in Peru likely are undescribed species. And so, I'm going through the process right now of identifying them. What that looks like for me is building myself a key, looking at previous scientific literature, trying to get my hands on as many pictures of cockroach genitalia, cockroach heads, different parts of their bodies, and comparing them to each other and making lots of little notes like, this cockroach has four spikes. This cockroach only has two spikes. And sometimes looking at those little bits of diversity really are the best way to see if this cockroach is different from another.
And then you get to name it,
And
right?
then you get to name it, right?
Has your lab named any new species?
Yes, so our lab has named quite a few new species. One that I'll highlight right now, especially as we're talking about the Insect Fear Film Fest, is my advisor, Dominic Evangelista, actually named one of the new species from Peru, or I think it's from French Guyana, after Dr. May Barenboim. All of the insects that are alive today have been evolving for millions of years, and within each and every one of them, they hold such a valuable evolutionary history that so many people have dedicated their lives to studying. And so they have so much wonder in their small little bodies.
I think it must call for a special kind of person to surmount insect fear, which is a real thing, and devote their lives to studying these creatures.
I would say entomologists are some of the most passionate people that I think I've ever met. Every year we have a big conference where we get together and we talk about new research, but we also get together and talk about bugs. One of the things that really I get so excited about, especially with these organisms, there's a ladybug crawling on the window right outside my office right now. So, I
She's tuned
mean,
in.
she's tuned in as well. One of the things that just draws me so much to these organisms is the way that they not only capture our hearts and minds as like scientists, but also the way that I can talk to anyone in the general public about entomology and they have some kind of story about a beautiful butterfly they've seen or cockroaches they'd rather not have in their house, or be able to talk to kids who always are so excited to tell me what their favorite bugs are, and I'm so excited to tell them what my favorite bug is too. Insects really bring people together, maybe at first out of this fear or confusion about them, but then ultimately it all stems from a place of like wonder and wanting to know more about our natural world. Butterflies are insects, flies, praying mantises, cockroaches, beetles, assassin bugs, dragonflies, damselflies. There are so many different types of insects. You would be astounded by the amount of diversity, which I'm so excited to get to highlight at the Insect Fear Film Fest.
I want to thank you for your time. This is fun. You really know your stuff, and I've learned a lot. That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. With my thanks to Archie M. Walker in their first year of the PhD program in entomology at the University of Illinois. I have enjoyed this comprehensive introduction to entomology at Illinois and to Archie's particular study of cockroaches, particularly building up to what is it, the 49th Annual Insect Fear Film Festival, which is coming up this month, Saturday, February 28th, at Folinger Auditorium on the quad of the University of Illinois. The doors will open at 5 when the insect petting zoo will be open for visitors, and that is something you don't want to miss. It's one of those occasions that you will only experience in our wonderful community of Champaign-Urbana. Through the entomology department, teachers can request an outreach visit, and a team of graduate students will pack up equipment, displays, and a petting zoo and bring them to your classroom. Contact the graduate student outreach coordinators, and now I'm going to give you an email address, entowork, ENTOWORK, at life.illinois.edu. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages, featuring 3 floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeaddamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.